You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 25th, 2021, virtually all Democrats have said they will vote to convict Trump on the charge of inciting an insurrection at the Capitol the other day after the House of Representatives impeached him, claiming that his words led to the events of January 6th. Timeline shows that Trump had not finished speaking when the violence at the Capitol actually started. Guess no one's bothered to check that. He already had word. But no, a lot of that was pre-planned. There's no doubt some folks already pre-planned it. But again, there was nothing he said that you could say, see, this says go down there and riot and threaten. Nope, none of that. An increasing number of Republican senators are voicing opposition to holding the trial, and others are simply saying, aside from good, bad, or indifferent about the issue, what's it doing to our nation is not bringing us together. That is a fact. COVID, suddenly, maybe we're doing better, maybe, with Joe Biden. The state of California suddenly says we can lift stay-at-home orders. We're doing better. In Michigan, the governor has decided we can open up restaurants and so forth. We're doing better. And yet, the very moment they're doing that, here comes Biden saying, there's no way we can stop this trajectory. We're not going to be able to stop it. Are you confused? I understand. And the Chicago Teachers Union members voting to defy Chicago Public Schools reopening plans. They're going to continue working from home, claiming they're worried about health and safety issues. This is not helping those kids. And many of those in Chicago need face-to-face instruction and help and guidance. We're going to pay for this in so many ways down the road, it's going to be devastating. Meanwhile, in Israel, they have now approved a week-long closure of the country's only airport. They are shutting down Ben-Gurion Airport, the main international gateway, through Sunday, January 31st, as they begin to expand the vaccine drive to include 16 to 18-year-olds. And, of course, Joe Biden is already moving forward with all these executive orders to have us buy American. But what are we going to have left to sell? He's revoked the permit for the Keystone Pipeline, shutting it down. He's also decided to overturn and stop any federal approvals for oil, gas, and coal permissions on federal lands, including tribal lands. One Indian tribe speaking out, saying, you can't do that. So they'll be battling that. But you want the numbers? You want to know exactly how bad this can get? A senior vice president of policy, economics, regulatory affairs at the American Petroleum Institute, so you could say he's biased, but says this ban that Biden has put on oil and gas development on federal waters and land, plus the pipeline, he said, you're looking, this could cost 1 million American jobs. 1 million American jobs. Costing the U.S. $2 billion in wages. Said shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, it costs 11,000 jobs directly and 60,000 indirect. And it's also going to hurt Canada. Canada's not happy about this either. And despite everyone supposedly we should all be happy now, seeing Kumbaya, another Antifa protest in Tacoma, Washington, last night, attacking a Tacoma police officer. And today, finally, the Biden administration issued a renouncement of the riots that took place today on his inauguration day in Portland and Seattle. But here comes some good news. here comes some good news for you. You know, in San Francisco, they've been housing homeless in hotels. And the city has one of the highest homeless populations in the state, I should say in the nation. 15 million to 18 million per month to house these folks in about 25 hotels. Joe Biden, in an executive order, mentions we're going to help pay for that. Your federal dollars are going to provide housing for those folks in San Fran. How's your housing? You worried about being evicted because you don't have the money or job to pay your rent? Move to San Fran. They'll pay for your housing with federal dollars. Stand by, please.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, smokes that lightning.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Then the most amazing thing is the vindictiveness, the viciousness, the vitriol, the anger, the poison they're directing at Donald Trump. This is unprecedented and incredible. And they're prosecuting him, or persecuting him, really, for anything they can find. The Democrats are the most vicious winners there are. And it really is like the reign of terror.
Well, those are the words of a guy who was very close to one particular Democrat, Bill Clinton. That's Dick Morris, who was an advisor to Bill Clinton. And he said, the Democrats are the most vengeful winners. Talking about going after Trump on the impeachment. And, of course, also going after you if you supported Trump in any way. They want to do anything and everything they can to dismiss you. Let me add to that. Let me emphasize, not just dismiss you, not just silence you, punish you. Punish you. And when McConnell came out the other day with saying that he's thinking and saying that, Trump is also partly responsible for what happened on the Capitol, this after he's lost control of the Senate, of course, and he's indicating we're going to go ahead and go through with the impeachment. And many members of his Senate that are Republicans are already under attack because they might be willing to fight against it, particularly Cruz and Hawley of Missouri, Cruz of Texas. And Senator Hawley wrote a piece I want to share with you here in a few moments about free speech and the limitations that's coming. But one of the things that we're also seeing as the left begins to grab and get its claws deep into others is to punish anyone that has ever crossed their path. He reminds me of a guy in this business I know. And when he first came into broadcasting, very, very nice guy, very talented. I praised him. I mean, I thought he was really good. But over a period of time, he just began to build up anger and more anger. And he had some difficulties with management from time to time and other people and so forth and so on. Ends up getting a law degree. And I thought, well, that's great that, you know, he applied himself to getting a law degree. I took LSAT and I was going to go to law school, but I was working my way through school, and law professors don't understand you skipping their class to go cover a fire when I was in television, so I stuck with what I was doing. I wish I had the degree. I'm not denying that. I'm glad he's got it. Some of my best friends, yes, are lawyers, and some of them are also Democrats who are lawyers, but that's okay. But this one, I asked, they say, what are you going to do that you got your law degree? And he said, I'm going to go sue every SOB that ever crossed me. That's where we are with the Democrats at this point, the far left. Now, I know there are many Democrats that do not fit that mold. They didn't like Trump. They hated Trump. They didn't, you know, but they really do not want to go for a public lynching and tarring and feathering and dumping horse piss on them, as some of the actors in Hollywood have suggested. They want to move on. They want to take care of our country. But among those who were fighting to do this, one through the impeachment, which Alan Dershowitz, former Harvard Law School professor, now Harvard School professor emeritus, says the impeachment is illegal. The idea of the impeachment is to remove the president. He's removed. Now you're attacking a private citizen. But more importantly, they're now in an effort to go after Giuliani, who represented Trump in some of these cases. And Dershowitz says, you can't allow that to happen.
It's McCarthyism. I grew up during McCarthyism when lawyers were being disbarred for representing clients that people didn't like. Rudy is a lawyer, and that's what he's supposed to do. And if his client says, challenge the election, he challenges the election. If you don't agree with his analysis, answer it in the court of public opinion, but don't disbar him. Are we going to disbar Adam Schiff? Adam Schiff also got on the floor of the Senate and the House and lied through his teeth about a range of things, including Russian collusion and including me.
Well, I'm all for disbarring anybody on the left, see if that's what they want to do, but that's not right. If that were the basis for our judicial system, nobody wants to be a lawyer on the side that's going to get the worst publicity and be attacked all the time. I know several criminal defense attorneys, and some I'd say are good friends. And I've asked some of them, I mean, how do you defend someone that you know is guilty? And, of course, most of them say, I never ask. I just tell them, tell me your story and what defense you want to present. And I remember one in particular that he was gutted when the verdict came back against his client and the client was found innocent. He did his proper job to defend the client and got him off. But in his heart of hearts, this attorney knew this guy was responsible for the death of his wife, the mother of his children. But it was done. And that lawyer had to do some serious soul searching. Do I want to continue in criminal law? Because this case was so heinous, he thought there just can't be done. I mean, there really was no justice. It's just that it was carried out according to law. And, of course, if the guy that got off, I got justice. But what we have now is a push, an acceleration, warp speed attack on anyone who stood with Trump and did anything to defend him at any level. And Alan Dershowitz said, You just can't do this.
When we start going after lawyers for representing clients, we're really undercutting the Constitution. And so I hope the Bar Association thinks differently about it. If it doesn't, I will help Rudy. I will help defend him. I will be a witness for him. I've known Rudy for, 45 years? We disagree about almost everything, and yet I would defend him to the depths of my being for being a lawyer.
That's the way it should be, isn't it? Now, you heard Dick Morris as we began this segment. And in the last hour, I used a cut from him when he said, we're not exactly what China is yet, but we're probably where Russia is, where political speech is going to be punished, absolutely punished. And that's what they're doing. That's why there's talk of removing Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley from the Senate, because of, quote, their outrageous claim the election was not as it was reported. And because they dared to contest the electoral vote in 2017, even though Hillary conceded, and the electoral votes were being presented to Congress for their approval for Donald Trump, the Democrats, Maxine Waters and others, challenged them. Beginning with the first state, Alabama. And they challenged more states than the Republicans did this time. And they had a perfect right to do so. It's allowable to raise a challenge. You don't think something went down, you're allowed to do that. That's why it's there. No one called, no one on the right said, hang all of them who are opposing this, they're trying to overthrow our government. No. We accept the Constitution, we accept what's allowed by law, and they were allowed to do it. In the end, the votes were certified. And then, though, you have this issue that it's not just Trump, it's those around him. That would be you, even if you're not a real strong Trump supporter. I don't put myself in an all Trump all the time. I never have. I, for all of his money and everything, I thought he lacked class in some things. I knew he should have kept his mouth shut on some things and stayed off the tweet machine sometimes and other things he did that I disapprove of. I wouldn't want to use him as a pastor, but I didn't elect a pastor. I was electing somebody I thought would do what we needed in the nation, which he did, till we got hit by the virus. And I certainly preferred him over Hillary, so that's how I made my decision. But in this show, obviously, for the most part, everybody says, well, you're a Trumper all... No, I'm not. I'm not a Trumper all the time. But I want you to know that those on the left, if they find anything that ties you to Donald Trump, they may begin coming after you. Will they be successful? The words of Dick Morris, former Bill Clinton advisor.
I think that the key fallacy is that they can go after whatever they want, but they're not going to be able to go after the 47% of the country that voted for Trump, at least. And there are 75 million people that voted for Trump. They're pretending that they don't exist. They're pretending that they have no rights, that they have no ability to be heard. And that is just absurd.
Dick Morris adding that Democrats are the most vicious winners there are. And it really is like the reign of terror. That brings me to this essay written by Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri. I'm going to share some of it now. I'm going to share some more before we wrap the hour. He says, have you checked your social credit score lately? You might want to. Mine seems to have taken a nosedive this month. You might want to check yours. He said, everyone knows what a credit score is, but social credit scores are new. They're the latest import from communist China, where government and big business monitor every citizen's social views and statements. They're the latest form of cancel culture in this country, as corporate monopolies and the left team up to shut down speech they don't like and force their political agenda on America. For those who still believe in free speech and the First Amendment, this is the time to take a stand. He says, like the old-fashioned kind of credit score, your social credit requires a lot of maintenance. You need good grades at school and stay out of trouble with the law, but that's just a start. You have to earn your right to live in a polite society these days. So if you want to get a good job, stay at hotels, be served at restaurants, you're going to need to do other things. You're going to need to voice the right opinions. And when he says right, he means leftist correct positions. You're going to need to endorse the right ideas. Again, the leftist correct position. You will need to conform. He said they tried to reprimand me this month because I didn't on behalf of the voters of my state. I raised this challenge to the presidential electors from Pennsylvania. Maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't. But whatever your view, corporate America's rushed to cancel those if they don't like you. He said a corporate publishing house then canceled a book it had asked me to write. Ironically, the book is about political censorship by the most powerful corporations in America. Now corporate America is canceling my political events because two parties are apparently one too many for their taste. That last reference, he was scheduling a fundraiser at a Marriott Properties. And he realized it's going to be Josh Hawley. They canceled it. Said, you can't come here. We're going to get into that cancel culture before we wrap up the hour in more detail and between Rand Paul and George Stephanopoulos. But I want to focus again very quickly on how many jobs we're going to lose under Biden's executive orders.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the other day, I think it was Saturday, I guess it was, or maybe late Sunday. I can't recall the time now, but I decided to pin a piece at Larry Connors USA Facebook. That's the radio page. And I also put it on the personal page, just Larry Connors Facebook, titled Biden's Fantasy Already Crippling America. Biden is pushing Buy American, assuming we have businesses left to produce anything after killing thousands of energy jobs, reinstating regs and taxes, sending $4 billion to Central America while ignoring American workers who are suffering. And my question was, does Biden know that officially he has 4 years to try to destroy America, doesn't have to do it in the first few days? Well, that set off a firestorm at that Larry Connors USA Facebook. Well, I'm looking at almost, what have we got, 2,600 reached on it and the comments. And between that and the other one in my private, I think something like 100 to 200 comments back and forth, some arguing. But the bottom line is, that's fine. Let's pay attention to what's happening. One of the executive orders he did the other day, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline. That cost 11,000 jobs immediately that are directly tied to it and some 60,000 that are indirectly tied to supply and things of that nature. And it's not just the U.S., it's also Canada. I thought he wanted to improve relations with other countries. Well, he immediately stuck Canada in the eye. And shutting down that pipeline is going to cost overall $2 billion in wages, is estimated. And also putting a permanent ban on oil and gas development on federal lands and water, that could cost another 1 million American jobs. And some of those on Indian reservations are already criticizing this, and you cannot do that. You cannot impose that law on us because they make a lot of money off of that for the reservation. And we need it in this nation. We want to use our own resources. We do not want to be dependent upon foreign countries again. But there are those who think that this is just fine. And when I look at some of the comments that came in the other day, one was pointing out, well, you know, Trump is to blame for the COVID thing, so we just got to get things under control. Well, that has nothing to do with shutting down the pipeline. The people are already suffering. How does that help? How does that help at all? Plus, Trump did the best he could with what he had and the information. And relying, of course, on Dr. Fauci and others for a while, they began to realize, I don't think the guy's doing what he should be doing for us. But he's all in close contact now with the Bidens. They're keeping him on board. They like what he says because he's even supporting us going back to the World Health Organization and supporting federal dollars for abortions. That's a health doctor? But again, when I said the Biden fantasy already destroying America, I'm looking at a comment from Charmaine who wrote, heck, he's just cleaning up the mess Trump made. Be for real, Mr. Connors. Well, Charmaine, I appreciate you adding your comments. Listen, I always invite comments. I'm glad to have opposing views presented. That's what we're about. As long as you're doing it in a civil way, nothing wrong with that. But when these jobs were cut, and it already made it clear that they would shut down the oil and gas industries and so forth. And do you remember what Biden had suggested? You guys can get other jobs. You can learn a new skill. Some of them can, some can't. You know what they should do? I got an idea. What they should do, and I don't know how many could get in and do this, but they need to see if they can become Dr. Anthony Fauci. Take his position. Dr. Fauci, last year, raked in $417,000. $417,000. Apparently the highest paid federal employee, or one of them. So you lose your oil job, go become Dr. Fauci. I'm sure your opinions would be just as valid as some of his were. We won't need a mask. You don't need to worry about COVID. Not going to hurt us. Oh, yeah, you do need a mask. Yeah, it's a crisis. But it's getting better now with Biden. Wait to hear what's happening with Rand Paul and George Stephanopoulos.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Senator Paul, let me begin with a threshold question for you. This election was not stolen. Do you accept that fact?
Well, what I would say is that the debate over whether or not there was fraud should occur. We never had any presentation in court where we actually looked at the evidence. Most of the cases were thrown out for lack of standing, which is a procedural way of not actually hearing the question. There were several states in which the law was changed by the Secretary of State and not the state legislature. To me, those are clearly unconstitutional. And I think there's still a chance that those actually do finally work their way up to the Supreme Court.
I have to stop you there. No election is perfect. But there were 86 challenges filed by President Trump and his allies in court. All were dismissed. Every state certified the results after investigations, and recounts. The Department of Justice, led by William Barr, said there is no widespread evidence of fraud. Can't you just say the words, election was not stolen?
What I would suggest is... What I would suggest is that if we want greater confidence in our elections, and 75% of Republicans agree with me, is that we do need to look at election integrity, and we do need to see if we can restore confidence in the elections.
That is Senator Rand Paul, Republican, Kentucky, appearing on Sunday ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos. And I let you hear the question from Stephanopoulos as he began. He said, a threshold question for you. Now, he says a threshold question for you that you got to answer this to come across and join in, and this is where we're going from here. And then Stephanopoulos doesn't make it a question at that point. He states what he considers a fact. And some people accept it, some don't. You're entitled to your opinion, my friend. Even if I'm right, you're entitled to your opinion. You do know that. Anyway, Stephanopoulos said, a threshold question for you. This election was not stolen. Do you accept that fact? Rand Paul said, well, there's not really been a debate. We've never had a presentation in court. I don't know how many times I've had to argue that with folks as well. We have cases presented. They get an opening argument, and then they shut it down. They don't ever take a look at the evidence. If they took a look at the evidence, we would have spent days looking over some of the evidence. They didn't. Now, you know one of my guests I have on here often, John Lebouthier from New York, former U.S. Congressman, Reaganite, hates Trump. He insists the election was not stolen. It's all false, Larry. There was no, and all this voter fraud by absentee ballots doesn't exist. He's going to have his position. I'm going to have mine. But the one thing that no one who claims that this election was absolutely 100% fair can tell me, if it's so fair, then what is your problem with signature verification and voter ID? And the dead still on the rolls of voting list in various states. Or folks who have not lived at that place for a year or a decade, and voting ballots are sent with their name on it to that place, and maybe somebody uses them. So we need to clean this up, and we began to do it. We need to do it with the state legislatures going forward. And Senator Rand Paul says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to go state to state. We're going to work at everything we can to start getting states to clean up their election rolls and make sure who's on there is valid and alive. But, of course, the Democrats are already talking about, well, we want everybody to be able to vote. That's why they want more illegal immigration. They don't want them here to improve their lives. They want to use them as pawns to be brought out for voting and put them back, just as they have for the most part for decades done with black Americans. Go round them up, take them to the polls to vote, send them home, say we'll be back the next 2 years or 4 years, whenever it is. So you got Rand Paul and George Stephanopoulos, and George Stephanopoulos, who, of course, served with the Clinton camp, is Democrat, and so is ABC. It's one of the liberals. We know that. Now, I'll show you a perfect example before we wrap up this hour. But they got into this question about calling people liars if you don't agree with the left. Again, let's go back to George Stephanopoulos and Senator Rand Paul.
75% of Republicans agree with you because they were fed a big lie by President Trump and his supporters who say the election was stolen. Why can't you say
Where you make a mistake is that people coming from the liberal side like you, you immediately say everything's a lie instead of saying there are two sides to everything. Historically, what would happen is if I said that I thought there was fraud, you would interview someone else who said there wasn't. But now you insert yourself in the middle and say the absolute fact is that everything I'm saying is a lie.
Well, because, Senator, I said what the president said was a lie because he said, hold on a second, he said the election was stolen. This election was not stolen. The results were certified in every single state after counts and recounts.
You're saying that absolutely it was, you're saying there was no fraud and it's all been investigated, and that's just not true.
It's not what I said, sir. I said the Department of Justice found no evidence.
Let me finish
my point.
You said something that was not true. You say we're all liars.
That's what he does say. That's exactly what Stephanopoulos is saying. Now, I broke it there because I wanted to set something up for you for a moment. Stephanopoulos said, I said what the president was a lie. Told him what the president said. And he said that the president said the election was stolen. And Stephanopoulos said the election was not stolen. And Rand Paul said, you said we're all liars. You're simply saying we're all liars. Well, if you believe Trump, if you buy into that, that the election was stolen and it was not correctly run, then you're a liar. Paul went right to the heart of it. Stephanopoulos can kind of dance around and try to be polite and nice, and they don't want to call somebody a liar to their face directly. But at the same time, they don't mind doing it. But in this case, just trying to step around the edges a little bit. And Rand Paul wouldn't have any of it. And then we got to this exchange.
I won't be cowed by people saying, oh, you're a liar. That's the problem with the media today, is they say all Republicans are liars and everything we say is a lie. There are two sides to every story. Interview somebody on the other side, but don't insert yourself into the story to say we're all liars because we think there's some fraud in the election.
There are not two sides to the story. This has been looked at in every single state. The election
There are two sides to every story. George, you're forgetting who you are. You're forgetting who you are as a journalist. If you think there's only one side, you're inserting yourself into the story to say, I'm a liar because I want to look at election fraud and I want to look at secretaries of state who illegally changed the voter laws without the permission of their state legislatures. That is incontrovertible. It happened. And you can't just sweep that under the rug and say, oh, nothing to see here. And everybody's a liar and you're a fool if you bring this up. You're inserting yourself into the story. A journalist would hear both sides, and there are two sides of this story.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with Rand Paul there, because when he says that George is a journalist, no, he's not a journalist. Stephanopoulos has never been a journalist, Senator, with all due respect. So I have to go against you on that one, Senator Rand Paul. George Stephanopoulos is not a journalist. Oh, I know he wants to pose as one. I got it. And Rand Paul saying, George, you're forgetting who you are as a journalist. No, he's not forgetting, Senator. He knows exactly what he is. And yes, inserting himself into the story, because that's true. They're not going to give you two sides anymore. Not from the mainstream media. Or as I'm calling them now, the state-controlled media, because that's where we're going. They're already kissing and kowtowing around and bowing down, as one column the other day called them bootlickers already. I was sharing earlier with you a segment of an essay written by Senator Josh Hawley, Republican, Missouri, and talking about censorship that's coming our way and that you've got to check your social credit score. Social credit score, and that is if you don't align with those who now consider that they're in power and they have power over you, then they will challenge you. And he said, quote, this is Josh Hawley from his essay, your conservative social platform isn't worth much when Amazon can shut it down. Your vote may still be yours, but if your party is denied the means to effectively organize by corporate monopolies, it's not going to win. Your church, well, you can still attend for now, but go to the wrong church, you may not have a job in a few years. He said, the good news is a cancel culture agenda will only succeed if we allow it. We need to stand up for the basic principles that join all Americans together, the right to speak freely, debate openly, address our differences graciously, without fear of being silenced or punished for dissenting views. He said, I, for one, am not going to back down. That means those who believe in the First Amendment, the fundamental principles of American liberty, must now take a stand while we can. You do not have to agree with me to be my friend or listener to this program. You don't. I have a relative who is absolutely hates Trump. One of my sisters. You think I'm going to ruin my relationship with a sister over politics? No. If it's ruined, it's because she wants to walk away from it. You think I'm going to lose great friendships over politics? No. If it's ruined, it's because they want to walk away. They're entitled to have their view, and so am I. And against this, let me remind you that something I reported earlier, the Federal Election Commission website shows that the MAGA Patriot Party National Committee has filed to be recognized. MAGA Patriot Party National Committee. We'll see what it means. And then Chuck Schumer, ABC, covering up his goof the other day.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Make no mistake, There will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
Yeah, that's Chucky Schumer. As I said the other day, Friday, you had one job to do, Chuck. Go out and read the statement and then go back to your little cubicle in your office or whatever. And he said that Donald J. Trump incited the insurrection. I told you mainstream media was going to ignore it and gloss over it. But if it had been stated by a misstatement by Senator Cruz or Hawley, do you think they would have glossed it over? Oh, no, 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 no. You know better than that. But not only did they ignore it as they could, but they decided we will edit it and make Schumer look better. ABC News did that. ABC's This Week, when it re-aired the segment, they dropped the word erection. They chopped it, made it look seamless as they could. So he simply said, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States. Does that just sound like, you know, good journalistic ethics? Of course it doesn't. But you can't expect that from the state-controlled media as we have going forward. That's just one example. And then you got another one coming out of the New York Times. I will never question someone's faith in the sense that, say, they're not as religious as they should be or they're too religious. That's not for me to say. I'm not the judge of you and your religion. I have a hard enough time getting myself right with God for me to turn and judge someone else. But the New York Times thinks it has a clear understanding, especially Christian religion or Catholic religion. And the New York Times, with Joe Biden going to service the other day, Catholic service, which I've been waiting to see if the Catholic Church is going to say he's going to be denied communion because he supports abortion. But so far, they haven't done it. Now, they've done it previously with others. But the New York Times described Biden, and I'm quoting here, as perhaps the most religiously observant commander-in-chief in half a century. The most religiously observant commander-in-chief in half a century. Based on what? I don't know. And they don't even have to say. They just decided that's what we're saying. That was a news report in the New York Times. It was not an opinion piece. It was a report on him going to service, and they decided to put that in, that he's perhaps the most religiously observant commander-in-chief in half a century. Well, there was immediate pushback from many conservatives, pointing to George W. Bush and Jimmy Carter for outspoken faith. I've always said Jimmy Carter, terrible president, but what a man of God. I mean, Jimmy Carter, after he left the presidency, he continued his walk with God. I mean, he started pushing, Habitat for Humanity, and he would be out there working. He didn't do it just to get publicity. He did it because that's what he was doing. And he continued till the point where he couldn't physically do it. If I were to choose anyone who seemed to be the most religious of all over the last 50 years, I'd have to say Jimmy Carter. But again, it's not for me to decide. But the New York Times thinks it has the authority to label someone as the most religiously observant. Is that like trying to pick the best quarterback coming up in the Super Bowl? Is that the same kind of thing? But again, it was not an opinion piece. It was in the news. And Joe Concha made a point of that. He noted that as well, Fox News contributor. He said the straight news piece focused on Biden's faith. He said, I don't think this should be the role of the New York Times in their straight news section. He questioned whether the label was authentic and rightly due. And Concha asked the question I just raised a moment ago. If Biden is so deeply religious and he holds these convictions, then how does he square that with supporting taxpayer-funded abortions? Carter said during his presidency and as recently as 2019, the Democrat Party needs to change the platform and support abortions only in cases of rape, incest, or the mother's life is in danger. Joe Biden changed his view because he used to be against it, being a staunch Catholic, voted for the Hyde Amendment that would prohibit federal funding for abortions, but this time around he thought, if I'm going to go for the Oval Office, I got to change. Sacrificing your religious, your most profound religious belief to become an office holder that makes you more religiously observant? I'm asking. I'm not judging. I'm just asking. As always, I appreciate your support for me and my sponsors. I appreciate you just calling them sometimes saying, I don't need you now, but I want to let you know I appreciate you supporting Larry Connors. We'll be back tomorrow. And do remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.